You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcast Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the Evolutionary Planetary Society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the science of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you'll be enabled to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to Deborah's Healing Kitchen with your host, author, speaker, and Miss Culinary Expert with Dr. Jewel Pookum's EQ Medicine Professional Alliance, Miss Deborah Peak Haynes.
Hello, welcome to Deborah's Healing Kitchen. I am Deborah P. Haynes, your host, and I am so grateful that you are listening with me today because I have some more wonderful, enlightening information that will come to you, and I want to make sure that you are ready. Get your pen and pencils, paper ready so you can take in this information that we're going to share. We have a lovely woman who is going to share with us today, and I am very happy to welcome Michelle Ewer. Thank you so much, Michelle, for being with us. She is a holistic health practitioner, and I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to allow me to interview you today. So how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, yeah, so Michelle, I know we met, I guess it was last year, and I had a wonderful conversation with you. So I think there's so much information that you have that is intriguing and also enlightening. And so could you tell the listeners a little bit about your background and your path that led you to your wellness practice?
Absolutely. So my path to wellness didn't start off, it wasn't like I was a little kid and wanted to be a doctor or anything like that. I've had a general passion for health ever since I was little, simply because my mom has multiple sclerosis, and she's had multiple sclerosis since before I was born. So by the time I was 8, she was bedbound and wheelchair-bound. So
wow.
We grew up helping to take care of her, my brother and I, and my dad takes care of her. He's her full-time carer. And what I realized is that growing up, the Western world didn't have a lot of answers for us. They
right.
would do all these experimental treatments or all these experimental drugs, but nothing ever really helped her get better. So I actually went to China looking for answers.
Wow.
I thought maybe they would have a solution. And I actually lived over in China for about 2 years. And while I was over there, I studied all the different tiers of Chinese medicine. I learned some really fascinating things, and I ended up coming back. Eventually, I worked at a neurology clinic for a little while, and then I started my own practice as a private brain coach, and then later got into thermography.
Wow, that is awesome. That is really awesome. Well, in light of everything that's going on now in China, what is your perspective on that? That just came to me when you mentioned China. Of course, I want to go a little bit more into what you learned while you were there for the 2 years, but in light of what's going on now with the virus, what is your perspective on that?
China is a very densely populated place in quite a lot of areas,
mm-hmm.
and there's been a really dramatic shift in health in general and approach to health in China over the last 10 years or so. When I was first there in 2009, they were only beginning to introduce a lot of Westernization. I mean, they started introducing Westernization when essentially the economy opened up under Deng Xiaoping, but the nature of the way that we've essentially treated our bodies and our environment is seen on a much larger scale in China right now. So when I was there in 2009, it was very rare for me to see an overweight child, especially in the outskirts of the city or even any of the rural areas. When I went back in 2012, it was much more common for me to see an overweight Chinese child, which was very interesting because it just demonstrated how dramatically the nature of the environment there had changed in such a short space of time with all these people.
Wow. Well, so, you know, when I travel overseas, it really is interesting when I see places that, you know, practice what they had practiced over, you know, many, many centuries of health and wellness versus the communities that have adopted more westernized way of treating, you know, or taking care of people through westernized medicine. So I think that's a really great point that you bring up, because now that they are using or have more of a perspective of westernized medicine that's infiltrated their culture, you see the after effects, which is, you know, really interesting. And so I'm glad that you shed light on that, because like you said, it's so rare to see an overweight Chinese child. And now I guess with fast food restaurants or different things coming into their environment, now you see some of the things that has been happening over here for many years. So
correct.
Tell us something, tell us something else that you have learned that was very profound as far as, you know, Chinese medicine and traditionally how they have handled, you know, any type of chronic condition.
Actually, that's the funny thing is that they have been so good for so many thousands of years at preventing chronic illness that they're really not set up to deal with chronic diseases. And the only reason that they've started getting chronic illnesses is because they've adopted Western lifestyle choices, such as diet, such as, you know, the quality of the food, the quality of the water, things like that, the exposure to chemicals in the air or toxicity in things that they come in contact with every day. So the more that that's being adopted, the more they're starting to see chronic illnesses pop up. But the traditional Chinese way of treating anything has to do more with prevention than anything else. When I was over there, it was so easy to get an hour-long massage for, you know, less than $10. And that's because they found that massage was such an integral part of preventative health care that they really encouraged it. It was really easy to come across that. And people did it, you know, as just a regular habit. It wasn't the special luxury thing that is how we treat it in the U.S.
Yes, where, you know, people that have means here, you know, they go to the spa. It's, yeah, like you said, it's a luxury treatment. It's not part of our daily or our weekly self-care. And I have a very close friend who travels a lot in Asia, and she, you know, always talks about the great massages, and it's less than $20, and they look at it very differently than we look at it. Now, of course, because of my exposure, I understand this is part of self-care, and I try to spread that word, but to your point, you know, it's a different perspective on how we take care of our bodies. So I think that's really, really interesting, and I'm just really prayerful that, you know, China will be able to open their eyes and say, okay, we need to go back to some of these things that we used to do so we wouldn't have these chronic. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, one of the things that I also noticed while I was over there was just that the one thing they've adopted from Western medicine is emergency surgery techniques. And that's because in World War II, the United States got very good at emergency surgery in the field. We had all of our MASH units deployed, and so we developed a lot of surgical techniques very quickly. When I was looking at the different tiers of Chinese medicine, I realized that the hospitals in China, they do a very good job of utilizing those Western surgical techniques. However, if you go into a pharmacy in China, you're not going to find very many, or if any, pharmaceutical drugs. Instead, a pharmacy looks more like the old style apothecary areas where they have all these glass jars, they've got roots and barks and, you know, different things like that. You take your prescription to the pharmacist, he pulls the ingredients off the shelf, puts it into a giant pestle and mortar, crushes everything up, measures it out into individual tea bags, and then you drink the tea or the liquid tincture, whatever he makes, and that's essentially your dose for the day. So they still use a lot of very natural ingredients that have, a lot of them, much more potent healing properties than the synthetic versions that have been turned into pharmaceutical drugs here in the U.S.
Wow. Well, have you seen anything that's close to that in the area in which you live?
As far as in terms of that apothecary style?
Yes, yes. Have you discovered any place like that, you know, in your area in which you live?
There are several little pockets of Chinese communities. In particular, I know that there's one over off of Greenville in 75.
Right.
And
oh,
they have a Chinese grocery store that still has a lot of the traditional herbs and things that you can buy from there. I know that several acupuncturists in the U.S. that are Chinese, traditional Chinese acupuncturists, they also carry a lot of the traditional Chinese herbs. Mm-hmm. So you can still find little pockets here and there. It just kind of depends.
Well, in light of this conversation about what's going on with the virus coming out of China, would you like to share a few tips that would help someone really build their immune system? Because, you know, what I've learned is if your immune system is intact, your body can handle a lot. So is there any light that you would like to shed on that?
Yes. One of the best things you can do for your immune system, because your immune system is your lymphatic system. They are the exact same thing. You have lymphatic fluid that runs from the top of your head down to your toes, and the lymphatic fluid actually runs parallel to all the blood in the body. And the lymphatic system is your immune system, so it produces T cells, antibodies, everything you need to fight infection. It's also your waste disposal system, and it's also your fat transportation system. So it has three very major jobs. Mm-hmm. One of the easiest things you can do to support healthy lymphatics is to drink warm to hot water, really good quality warm to hot water. There's a reason why in China they start every day with warm water. And anytime you go to any restaurants or you sit down for any sort of meal, they will have a pot of hot water and little cups. And a lot of people will drink just the hot water straight and then add the tea in later. Hot water, it opens up the digestive system and it helps the lymphatic fluid flow very effectively throughout the body. The key is, though, that you want to start with really good quality water. The best quality water is either going to be distilled or reverse osmosis.
Oh, okay. So how do you feel about natural spring water?
The problem with natural spring water is that even if they disclose the source, they don't necessarily have to disclose. If there's, for example, a chemical plant a mile away that leaches chemicals into the groundwater, and then they get that water from that natural source, they don't have to tell the public that, hey, there's also chemicals from this massive pharmaceutical plant that's a mile away.
Wow.
It's hard to know the quality of water you're actually getting. The reason that distilled is such a safe option, and the reason that distilled is the kind of water that's recommended for CPAP machines, medical equipment, you know, high-grade things like that, is because the way that distilled water is made is they heat the water past the boiling point, and the distilled water is essentially the steam that's collected. It's the hydrogen and oxygen molecules that rise into a steam form. Most often, the contaminants that are in the water are too heavy to be produced as steam or to lift into that steam form. So you're actually filtering out most of the contaminants. That's why distilled is such a very pure, natural form of hydrogen and oxygen molecules.
And so how does that versus reverse osmosis?
Reverse osmosis is just another, it's a really good quality of water to get, and it's just another good option. Reverse osmosis water, it's the way that they actually do the filtering of the reverse osmosis system that allows for a majority of the contaminants to get out. So So both of those are really safe choices when it comes to water quality.
Okay. Well, I think that is just excellent information, and I hope the listeners are really taking note, because I know, you know, water is just so essential, and not just any water. I don't know if you saw the article. I don't know if it was the New York Times, but I guess in the last 6 months there was an article that came out and talked about that most of the water in the United States was contaminated with pharmaceuticals and other toxic substances, and
yes,
how people should never, ever drink tap water wherever you live. I'm sure you already knew that, but I thought it was really interesting they finally released that article.
Yeah, and a lot of people, too, think that if they get their water filtered from their refrigerator, they
mm-hmm.
don't think about it as coming from the tap. But essentially, your refrigerator is hooked up to the general water line system, so it is still tap water. Not only that, but when it's put into the refrigerator filter system, it then sits in the refrigerator. And if there's corrosive metal in there, if there's plastic that has toxins and parabens and all those other things in it, all that is adding even more toxicity to that already toxic groundwater or city water, as you will.
How do you feel about the filters on the faucets?
It depends which kind you get.
Right. I know some are superior than others. Yeah, that's true.
Correct.
Because I think I have some information on that on my website. Yeah, that is true. But we really do need to think more about how we drink water and where the source is coming from. And I'm glad that you pointed out that point about you don't know if there's a chemical plant in close proximity to the springs. And I didn't know they didn't have to disclose that. I mean, that's really like, wow. But anyway, moving on, one of the things that I was privy to through my holistic doctor was the benefits of getting thermography instead of some of the other, scanning or screening services. Mm-hmm. And so do you mind sharing a little bit about thermography and why people might want to consider thermography versus some other types of screening services that might expose you to radiation?
Sure. So there's two kinds of thermography. There's camera thermography, which is infrared thermography, and then there's regulation point thermography. The kind of thermography that we do is regulation point thermography. Infrared camera thermography, it's a machine, and it scans the surface temperature of just the breast and chest area, which
mm-hmm.
is fine for showing changes on a surface level, but it doesn't tell you anything about why those changes are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Regulation point thermography, on the other hand, is where a technician is in the room with you, and they take a little wand, and they measure over 119 points on the body, and then they have you cool down and come back and do all those points again. And what that does is it measures the actual functionality of every single organ and system in the body and can show things like cancer and Lyme disease and internal infections way before they would ever show up on a traditional Western test when it becomes more of an acute issue. The regulation point thermography was actually created by German medical doctors and German biological dentists over 40 years ago. It's very
wow.
widely used in Europe. In
uh-huh.
fact, I've got a friend of mine who is actually a hospital administrator over in France. And when I first started studying thermography, I got really excited to tell her about it. And she was a little bit confused, and she goes, "What are you talking about? I'm not allowed to admit anyone to my hospital without that test above MRIs, above CAT scans, and above blood work." She goes,
"Wow.
Our doctors don't work without it." Yeah. She goes, "We've been using it in France for over 30 years. We don't work with,
wow.
our doctors don't work without it."
Wow. So I wonder, how do you think that would change the scope of our healthcare system?
I I think that it would collapse a billion-dollar industry if everyone started
yes.
doing thermography.
Yeah, let's be honest,
simply,
right?
Right. Just to be quite fair, simply because it shows so many underlying things, it really shows the root cause of what's going wrong. So, for example, when women go to get their breast health checked, a lot of times it's simply the breast that's being looked at. What the thermogram shows is every single thing that influences the health of the breast tissue, because your breasts mm-hmm. are actually lymphatic tissues. So things that influence the health of the breast tissue are the health of the mouth in certain areas, the health of the liver, the endocrine system, whether or not that's completely balanced, the fibrocystic or the density of the breast tissue. There's just all these little bitty things that influence the health of the breast. And a lot of times there can be stuff going on in the breast that isn't actually coming from the breast at all. Mm-hmm. So that's what this test shows as opposed to a different traditional test.
Wow. I mean, that is awesome. That is really awesome. But I'm still trying to get over what you said about the hospital not even allowing someone to come unless they had that. I mean, it just shows how at one point we appear to be very progressive in our thinking in this country, but then when you really dig a little deeper, we're really not. And sometimes I think, and many times, it goes back to the dollar. So I think we all need to be more aware of what is really running or guiding a lot of our healthcare services in this country. So, I mean, that is really phenomenal that you were able to uncover, you know, what's happening in that hospital over in France, or in France in general, or in Germany. So I know thermography for me has been, you know, very helpful in, you know, looking at, okay, I need to work on this. But one of the things I really appreciate in talking with you last year is how you were sharing with me about pulling using the coconut oil. So do you mind sharing mm-hmm. a little bit about what you shared with me?
Yeah, coconut oil is a really good maintenance habit to get into on a regular basis. And the best way to do that, and we like to use a company called Skinny Coconut Oil, because we've tested mm-hmm. several, and some of them pull enamel off the teeth. So mm-hmm. Skinny Coconut Oil was created specifically for oil pulling. You can get it on Amazon, and it doesn't damage the enamel in any way. So basically, you take a scoop of the coconut oil, and you put it in the pocket of your cheek, or, you know, under the tongue until it melts, becomes liquid. You swish it around the mouth for up to 15 to 20 minutes, and then you spit it out. Personal tip, spit it out into a trash can or a cup, not into the sink, because if it gets hard or cold in the pipes, it will clog your pipes, so FYI. Mm-hmm. But it's antiviral, antibacterial, antimicrobial, and it's really good for maintenance of the health of the mouth. And the reason that's so important is because 80% of chronic illness actually starts in the mouth.
Oh, wow. Okay, so not in the colon, but the mouth, because it has to go through the mouth first to get to the colon. Is that how that works?
Yeah, in general, everything starts with the health of the mouth, because it's the first point of exposure for anything internal.
So I know I have, in some of my talks I have shared, and people really, it seems like a light comes on. I said, if you have really bad gum disease, that means that you probably have a whole lot of issues going on in your body. And so your mm-hmm. gums and your teeth have to be healthy. So I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And the other thing that, as you know, it's a big, big industry, people wanting white teeth. But after I took your tip and started using the Skinny coconut oil, you know, my teeth started whitening. And so those are some other benefits that I had not, you know, thought would happen. But that was also good, too, because I know it's a big industry to whiten teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else that you would like to share? Because some of these tips are really inexpensive, but they're so impactful. And I really appreciate your insight. In fact, Michelle, I want to say this. In speaking with you, I know you're a young woman, but it sounds like you have the wisdom of the ages. So
thank you.
That really comes
kind
out
of a
in
nerd.
Our conversation. Right. It comes out
I'm
in a
kind of
conversation.
A nerd. I study a lot. Thank you.
So, but I want to ask you another thing about China. You were there for 2 years. So had you anticipated staying 2 years, or did you get there and decide to stay longer? And then what made you, you know, come back to the U.S., if you don't mind me asking?
So I lived there a total of three different times that kind of amassed to a full 2 years.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, okay. I came back because my visa expired. So.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Okay,
and,
that's real practical.
Yeah, and then I got a job. Yeah, then I got a job offer here, and then I ended up staying here. So that's kind of.
Okay, well, good.
That's all that was.
And I understand that you are completing another level of training and studying and research. And so what are you looking at as far as, you know, your next move? Are you going to be where you are? Are you expanding your services, if you wouldn't mind me asking?
Sure. I'm in the process of finishing up my naturopathic doctor's license. So that'll be the final educational feather in the cap, at least for now, because, again,
uh-huh.
I just like school. So at the moment, I've got my global I've got my global business MBA from Thunderbird. I've got my bachelor's degrees. My minors were in Chinese medicine and Chinese studies. I have my holistic MBA, so that's a holistic health degree. I've got all my life and health coaching certifications, and now going for the naturopathic doctor's license. So my next step is really working more one-on-one with patients. I am taking on more patients at this time, so I have
mm-hmm.
some spots open for some new patients to work with. We're also expanding our clinic, so we're moving into a larger space soon, which will
Wonderful.
Be great because we'll be able to, yeah, we'll be able to offer therapies as well as personalized treatment plans as well as thermography.
Right.
So,
well, that is awesome. Well, that is really awesome. So are you finding that people are much more open now to naturopathic perspective and treatment?
I feel like they are, and I think that's born out of a combination of more information, giving people more options, and a lot of people
mm-hmm.
being willing to do a lot more of their own research rather than just going with what someone tells them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think the other contributing factor to that is that people are frustrated. They go to
right.
doctor after doctor who are specialists in certain areas, and they don't get the help and the time and the attention and the care that they need. One of our appointments is over an hour long. It's usually up to an hour long. And when I start working with someone new, I request that they text me every single day. People aren't used to having 24/7 access to their doctor.
Right, right.
It just doesn't happen very often. But when you're talking about major lifestyle shifts and changes,
right,
then I feel like that's really necessary. And if you look up the definition of doctor in the original Latin, it means to educate or to teach.
Right.
My goal is to teach someone how to take care of themselves in the best possible way to get the maximum results to live their best life.
Right.
And there's not enough
right.
of that in the traditional medical community.
Right, right. No, I think you are so right. And when someone is going through, as you said, a shift in their health, I mean, it can be very traumatic when you might need support or some direction. I mean, I've had experiences where it was so beneficial for me to be able to call my doctor and, you know, just talk and say, okay, this is what's happening. Is this really serious or...
Mm-hmm.
Is this okay? And many times, you know, she would say, well, no, your body's transitioning. This is what you need to do. Many times she would say, you really need to take a nap, you know. So
that's fair.
Sometimes we really don't understand the importance of rest.
Right.
Especially, you know, in the type of society we live in. So I think that is awesome, and I'm really excited about, you know, what you're about to do, and I know you're going to be a blessing to so many other people. And you also have a partner that is a naturopathic doctor as well, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah, he actually just got all of his results back, and he's now officially an ND. So very, very excited,
awesome.
Very proud.
Awesome, awesome. Well, congratulations. So the two of you are going to be the next power couple.
I hope so. That would be, and by power couple, if that means we get to serve and help a huge amount of people, then that's really the goal. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. Like, how much can you give back? How many people can you help? If there
right.
had been, I feel like if my mom had had more help at the beginning, at the early stages, if somebody
right.
had taught her, you know, here's the best water to drink, here's how to manage your food and your stress and all this other stuff, then maybe her progression would have been completely different. I don't know. It's all hindsight, but if we can be there for other people in that capacity, then we've done our job.
Well, I think you are so right. Any leader should be a servant leader, and any power is not just for yourself, but for who you help. And so I really appreciate your perspective, and I'm sure that you and your upcoming husband will have wonderful testimonies and help so many other people. And so it's just been a blessing to be able to meet you and talk with you and for you to share, you know, your information. And as I said, I think that you, you know, have wisdom of the ages, and you've been able to communicate that to so many. So is there anything else you'd like to share? How can people get in touch with you and your practice? I think they would really be interested. And do you have a website?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do have a website. It's thermographycenter.com, and that's thermographycenter.com. We've got a great 12-week self-study program that you can sign up for that actually starts to teach you all these lifestyle steps one step at a time. You get one email a week for 12 weeks. That way you can put it into practice yourself. Or, you know, you can check out all of the bios of all of our practitioners. And there's a spot where you can schedule an appointment. Or if you want, you can call into our mainline number and say, hey, I want to set up a 15-minute free consultation with Michelle. And you can do that. We're more than happy to do that and talk to you before you make any decisions about what direction you want to go in your health journey.
Well, that is wonderful. And, of course, if they are interested in thermography, that is available. Mm-hmm. And so they can also come there for that. And then you do send
absolutely
the reports back to whoever their attending health practitioner is. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're very collaborative. Our center has trained over 200 doctors in the United States on how to read the thermogram properly. It, on the surface, it looks very simple because it is in plain English, but there's a lot of little nuances to what the results actually mean and how to use those results to identify underlying root causes. That is why we include a full review with one of our specialists when you come and get the testing done. So you get the results of your test immediately after the test itself, and someone sits down and goes over all the results with you so you understand what it says. And then after that, if you want to pass it along to your doctor or whoever you want to work with, they're welcome to call us, and we will collaborate with them to make sure that those results help further you in a beneficial way in terms of your treatment plans, whether it's
right
with us or a different doctor.
Well, that is wonderful. I think collaboration is what we need more of with people that have open minds and really want to help. So thank you so much, Michelle, and I hope that you don't mind coming back and having another interview with us on Deborah's Healing Kitchen in the very near future. So thank you for taking the time and also sharing. I know we condensed a whole lot that you have studied and researched in a short amount of time, but I do think it was helpful. And to all the listeners, please go to DeborahPKHaines.com if you want more information about Deborah's Healing Kitchen and some of the things that I'm doing. And we always look for ways to collaborate with wonderful people like Michelle. So thank you again for listening to Deborah's Healing Kitchen, and please listen to us again the next time. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.
Deborah P. Haines here each Tuesday at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on the Jewel Network, hosted by thejewelnetwork.com, e4medicine.com, and deborahshealingkitchen.com for our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.com. For our complete broadcast schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.com. If you'd like to contact Miss Deborah, please send your email to deborahpkhaines@juis.education. Follow us on Facebook at Deborah's Healing Kitchen. Thank you.
humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders: HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the Jewel University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook. This broadcast is under full copyright and trademark protection owned by the House of Jewels. This broadcast in its entirety, nor any part of this broadcast, can be reproduced, copied, transcribed, placed in podcast format, placed into MP3 format, or suspended on any internet digital location without express permission from the House of Jewels, Washington State, USA. To reproduce or suspend this broadcast in any digital location other than the Jewel Network is prohibited, and legal proceedings will follow accordingly. Thank you for listening.